Good evening, everybody. This is Commander Tom Garcia filling in for Michael Cutler on the Michael Cutler Hour. Welcome tonight. I'm glad you could join us. And if you don't know who I am, well, I do a broadcast show on the same network as Michael. It's called The American Hour. I come on Wednesday and Thursday nights. And I'm really happy to be filling in for Michael. If you don't know that, you know, what Michael is up to, I can tell you, he's out in California enjoying the very nice weather they're having there this week. And he's speaking in front of a couple of events. Let's see. There's one called CAPS, Californians for Population Stabilization. And we're not talking about population stabilization like they do in China, but rather stopping the flood of illegal immigration. And then, let's see, tonight I believe he's speaking, or tomorrow night he's going to be in Ontario talking to the Concerned Women of America and Act for America. So he's keeping busy out there in California. I spoke with him a couple days ago, and he's really enjoying it. He was telling me that he's been having lunch and dinner outside, you know, in a cafe or a decent restaurant on a patio, that kind of stuff, just really enjoying the weather. And I guess when you live up in the Northeast this time of year, that's exactly something that would be very enjoyable. Of course, I am broadcasting live from Southern Florida, where I am actually sitting on my patio and with my equipment and doing the broadcast from right here. A little bit later on, we're going to be joined by a good friend of mine, Marianne Davies, and I met her through a variety of different organizations that had to do with immigration as well as some other political stuff. And it turns out her husband is an airline pilot. I'll let her tell you about that. But and he was also, I believe, in the Navy like I was. So when I introduced myself as Commander Tom Garcia, maybe going, Commander? What do you mean, Commander? Well, I'm a retired Navy fighter pilot, so I say Commander Tom Garcia. I'm also a international airline captain, so I could have said Captain Garcia, but I get to say that every week when I go flying, when I come on the PA and say, welcome aboard, everybody. This is Captain Garcia. And every now and then I slip and say Commander, but not really a commander there. Kind of a commander of the airplane there, but in any case, we've got some stuff to talk about tonight, and I'm going to start off by reading to you a article that I wrote several months ago. Well, you'll know it was several months ago because it was kind of aimed at Rick Perry, candidate Rick Perry, who was running for the presidential nomination in the Republican Party. And it's because of something he said about illegal immigrants, children of illegal immigrants in his state, and they deserve a chance to go to college, and just like everybody else, and pay in-state tuition as well, even though they're not even there legally. Well, I took a little umbrage with that, and so I wrote an article. It didn't get a wide circulation, not as much as I had hoped, but in any case, I'm going to go over that with you tonight because I think I make a very good case for why this is harmful to citizens. And you, and I've been asked the question before, well, you have a problem with some young person that's worked hard in the school and made it through high school and going to college here in the U.S.? No, I don't have a problem if they pay their way, but if we're going to give them breaks and subsidies and every other opportunity like other kids, then guess what? They're competing with our kids. And I have two daughters, one who's in college right now, in California, by the way, and the other that will be. So I'm personally not too happy about them having to compete of all these other kids that, quite honestly, could go back to their home country and get a free education. And in the case of Mexico, it's a great education. I'd love to send my daughter to the University of Mexico, but I'd have to pay. Now, actually, it would be a lot cheaper than in the States, but we don't have family there anymore. You might have noticed that my last name was Garcia, and yes, my family's history is from Mexico. So let me get into this a little bit. I just want to make sure that we don't miss Marianne when she calls in. Of course, I have a co-host on my own show, Paula Lazan, and she hasn't been with me the last 2 weeks, so I've really been feeling it in terms of hosting a show when I don't have my co-host to help me out with it. But she's working on some energy projects for a company that she's with now, and it's been taking up a lot of her time, but I believe she'll be back with me next week. So once again, same network here. You can actually even listen to my show off of Michael Cutler's webpage if that's where you go. But if you go to the homepage for that network, you can find my page, and I list, you know, the kind of stuff I'm going to be talking about, et cetera, which is typically conservative politics and typically in the context of the Constitution. I love talking about the Constitution. In fact, last night, two nights ago, I did a show, an entire show, not an entirely on this subject, but close to it, on a speech that Abraham Lincoln gave in 1838, which warned us about some of the dangers ahead and talked about the Constitution and why we need to follow the Constitution and quit coming up with grandiose ideas on how to transform our country. So, in any case, this article could apply today as well to Newt Gingrich. And we'll talk, when Marianne comes on, we'll talk to her about some of those things that some of the candidates have been saying. But in any case, let me get started on this, and we can always pause if she calls in. Although Governor Perry has apologized for calling Americans heartless for opposing in-state tuition fees for the children of illegal immigrants, he stands by his belief that it is the right thing to do. I'm sure that all of the illegal immigrants residing in his state would agree. But what about the legal residents who are competing for a finite number of admission slots? And what about the legal citizens of other states that would like to come to Texas if only they could pay the in-state tuition costs? It would seem that the governor's compassion extends first to citizens of other countries before those of his own. Now, obviously, I know that's not true. I'm kind of exaggerating things a little bit, but it's to make a point. So for the governor's sake, I'd like to compare the difference of two similar families struggling to afford college tuition. The first family comes from a long line of Garcias originating in Mexico City four generations ago. The first Garcias moved into Texas before it was a U.S. territory and gained citizenship legally as it became a part of the United States of America. The father of the modern-day family served in the United States Navy for 22 years and has a daughter who has just finished community college. In-state tuition costs are much higher than community college and will be difficult to afford without some form of tuition assistance. The competition for assistance in admission is compounded by the addition of the thousands of students of foreigners illegally residing in the state. And isn't that the truth? That's exactly what it's done. The second family comes from a long line of Garcias originating in Mexico and is the first to live in the U.S. They are a hardworking. Now, I started off, I didn't tell you what the title of this article is. It's The Tale of Two Garcias. All right. The second family comes from a long line of Garcias originating in Mexico and is the first to live in the U.S. They are a hardworking family who came to Texas on a work visa, which expired 10 years ago. The father works in the restaurant industry and has a daughter who has done well in high school and is applying to several universities in Texas. At the in-state tuition rate, and with some tuition assistance via loans, she may just be able to afford one of the universities she has applied to. At out-of-state tuition rates, she wouldn't be able to. And that is the argument for allowing her to pay the in-state tuition rate. At least that is according to Governor Perry. Ironically, if she were to return, and I say ironically, I'm telling you right now, sadly, if she were to return to Mexico with her U.S. high school diploma and good grades, she would be virtually assured of getting into one of the public universities and at a tuition rate of, cha-ching, $0 per semester. That's right, free. And I'll tell you what, the University of Mexico is a very good university. We have lots of people that come from all over the world to get master's degrees and PhDs there, besides just a bachelor's degree. Yes, that's right, it's free. But where's the compassion in letting her return to her country of citizenship for a free education? An education at a very highly respected university, no less. For some reason, though, the good governor, and now our former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, think it's the right thing for taxpayers to subsidize the education of a person that could return to their country of citizenship for a free education subsidized by their own countrymen, all the while U.S. citizens compete against a growing population of non-citizens for admission and assistance. And that's what the governor calls having a heart. The truth is, the first Garcia family calls it creating additional hardship for them and their actual citizens. For the second Garcia family, it's called expensive but convenient. And what do I mean by expensive but convenient? Well, they're going to have to pay for tuition one way or another. And they, like I said, the father works in the restaurant industry. He doesn't own a restaurant in the restaurant industry. He works in the restaurant industry. And the mom may not have a job at all, but we'll just say, yeah, she works at the local dry cleaners. So they make money, and they're very frugal, and they work really hard, and that's great. And they scrape their money together, but they're still going to have to pay, and it's going to be tough for them, but they're willing to do it. Now why does the second Garcia family not want to save all that money of sending their daughter to a four-year university in Texas when they could send her back to Mexico to live with relatives or friends and get a free education? would be a huge savings. But why are they not willing to do that? Well, there's a reason. It's called chain migration. And now I just lost my place in this. Right here. Because our way of life is so much better than every other nation in the world, our unique constitution guarantees the kind of liberty and freedom that they came searching for to begin with. Unfortunately, they have gained the benefits of citizenship without earning citizenship. They've basically taken it. They've stolen it. When something precious is not earned but taken, it doesn't tend to be valued. We see the result of this in the Reagan amnesty in California. Second-generation citizens, and I lived out there for 15 years when I was in the Navy, and then after I first got out of the Navy, stayed in the reserves and was hired by the airline. Second-generation citizens of the amnesty program parading around with Mexican flags and demanding open borders. U.S. citizens acting as though they are ashamed to be Americans and more proud of their Mexican heritage. We're going to see a whole lot more of that across the country if we keep catering to people poaching citizenship. Now, this is a question I ask a lot of people and people that would even get into a debate with me about this subject. Do you tolerate, are you willing to tolerate, and get this, especially if the person works in retail or owns a business in a store where they sell a product? They don't like this comparison, but it's true. Are you willing to forgive and forget and just let people go that shoplift? In other words, an amnesty? Or would you like them to be held to some accountability in the law so that they just don't keep doing it? And there's the key sentence. So they just don't keep doing it. Now, you know, when it comes to citizenship, you only have to do it once. But really, they keep on doing it because they stay here and they don't do anything to Well, I just got a call from Mary Ann Davies, and apparently I did not send her the whole phone number. So we have the capability on the system to call people. And I am going to do that. But first I've got to go to Facebook because that's where we were talking and find our conversation. So I apologize, but we'll get to it. We got plenty of time. And let's see. That's probably her message right there. Okay. And of course, my computer's slow. I've got DSL. I've got to get rid of. I've got to get cable. I hate to say it, but I've got to because it's just too slow. So we'll get her phone number here, and then we'll give her a call. She gave me her cell phone number earlier, and I've actually got her phone number in my phone, so I could pull it up there as well. But let's just go with the phone number that she gave me. All right. Of course, I'm not telling any of you what it is, but yeah, it's true. I only sent her, I cut off somehow the last digit. All right. So we got it there. We'll plug it into the phone call here. And here we go. Call a guest. And we're going to dial her up. And dial. So you all get to hear that. All the dialing.
Hello?
Marianne, it's Tom. You're on the air.
Oh.
Hey, I apologize. You're absolutely right. I cut off that last digit. I was in such a rush earlier. But in any case, are you able to talk now?
Sure. Do you want me to call you back on a landline, or let's do it from here?
No. This okay. is just fine. Yeah.
Great.
Well, welcome aboard. I introduced you a little bit earlier, but I didn't say much other than your husband's airline pilot, and I believe he was in the Navy also, and tell us what kind of groups you've been working with. Well, first, tell us more about your husband. You don't have to tell us what company he flies for, but he is a pilot.
Yes, he's a commercial airline pilot. He was not in the Navy. My son is a midshipman at the Naval Academy, your alma mater.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Bless his heart.
Yeah, so that's where he is right now. And I am associated with, well, I'm the co-founder of the Kitchen Table Patriots. Tea Party group in outside of Philadelphia, in suburban Philadelphia, and we're a very, very active group. We just hosted a U.S. Senate candidate debate for the six Republican candidates that are vying for the primary election to be nominated the Republican nominee for to unseat Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania. We recently had Newt Gingrich come to Doylestown and come visit our Tea Party a couple months ago, It was a phenomenal event. It was really crazy, and this district is a pretty hot district. And the Democrats have us on their target. They actually brought in Joe Biden last week to the local high school, just down the street from where Newt Gingrich was 2 months ago. So, anyway, I'm involved with that. I'm involved stay pretty much very much in touch with FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, and we're starting a Pennsylvania chapter of the Latino Republican National Committee here in Pennsylvania.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, just so people know, they've already had a chance to hear me talk about my heritage, but what is your Hispanic heritage?
My parents are both from Quito, Ecuador. My father immigrated here in the 1950s to go to school, and he served in our military during the Korean War. And later my mother came, and they're naturalized citizens. They've been here for over 50 years, and proud of it, and respected the laws of the land, and expect everybody else to do so as well, no matter where they're from.
Yeah. And, now, isn't that interesting? How your parents come here legally, but they're not out campaigning for all the illegal people that are here to be able to stay. And I just was just going into this. I was going through an article that I wrote some time ago. And I think I'd actually copied you on the initial draft of that, but The Tale of Two Garcias. And I was saying that, you know, why is it that people that are pro-amnesty for something that's so valuable, I would consider citizenship the most valuable thing that anybody in this country has, because without it, you really don't have a right to any of the benefits of this country, and unless, you know, you're a resident here, but then that's a legal process to go for. But they will not tolerate for a second somebody shoplifting at Walmart. No amnesty for shoplifters. You can take a $15 pair of jeans, well, they're up to $50 now, I guess, and we want you to be prosecuted, especially if you're that store owner. But when it comes to allowing people to stay in this country that have stole something far more valuable, suddenly they want to, you know, give in. And I just think it sends the wrong message. And the point I just got into in the article was I saw firsthand how in California, after Ronald Reagan's amnesty, the next generation, the second generation of now legal citizens have no respect for their own citizenship. They have no respect for the United States. They parade around with Mexican flags. They demand open borders. They demand this. They demand that. And they're more proud of their Mexican heritage, quite frankly, than they are of their U.S. citizenship. And that will happen all across the country if we, just like anything else, when you give things that are valuable away for free, they don't get valued anymore. So I guess
agree.
You're living proof of that. You're second generation. You value citizenship because your parents earned it. And they did it right. They deserve to earn it, and I'm sure that's precisely what they would tell us. Well, I don't want to – I'm not here to pick on Newt Gingrich tonight. And, of course, this is technically the Michael Cutler show. I'm filling in for him, and you know Michael Cutler.
Yes,
he's out
I sure
doing
do.
Stuff with CAPS in Florida. He's been actually lately speaking to some different Tea Party groups. And the interesting thing about Michael Cutler, he's a Democrat. But he's a
39
agent who knows the damage that this illegal immigration is doing to our country, both economically and socially. So with those things said, I was reading an article that I wrote some time ago that was originally targeting Rick Perry, and you and I had a conversation about this, about the in-state tuition and that sort of thing, and you had done research, a lot of research on this in the past, so that's why I'd called you. But now Newt is talking about breaking families up. Can you tell me of an instance where the government has broken a family up, said to some parents, you're here illegally, we'll consider your children legal, you have to go back to Mexico, but your kids, they're going to stay, and they can't go with you?
There has never, ever been one case of that, ever. In fact, you know, that's, of course, the ultimate spin. You know, when a person gives up, or excuse me, when their rights are forfeited to continue to stay, when an order is entered for deportation and they are actually being deported, they have every right to bring their families along. I mean, the government isn't saying that any of their family members have to stay here. That is ultimately the choice of those individuals. As far as the children is concerned, I mean, you know, no parent is going to leave or should leave their child. I mean, that's really, again, a personal issue that has nothing to do with our government. You know, the kids, if they're U.S. citizens and they were born here, they have every right to come back here whenever they want. it's certainly not a matter of the government breaking up families. I think also, you know, we have to realize, or, you know, people have to understand the other side of the coin. If you, as an adult, take that risk, take, you know, you openly violate our borders, or you overstay a visa, you are taking, with, you know, full open eyes, the risk that at some point you are jeopardizing the security and unity of your own family, because you're subject to deportation at any moment.
That's
so,
right.
This is not something that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you've knowingly taken a risk. I use that point all the time. You knowingly are taking a risk, and if it doesn't work out, that was the risk you were willing to take. But don't now tell us that we're heartless and et cetera. I mean, you know, one of the things that I ask a lot of people that are on the other side of this, I ask them, especially when I come across, I don't come across it very often, but every now and then I come across somebody that's from another country, they're here legally, and they want to allow everybody that's here illegally to stay here legally, even though they went through the process. And I ask them, well, why? Why do you feel that way? And I said, okay, I'll tell you what. If you were to go back to your home country, Mexico, Colombia, Guatemala, wherever it is, are there immigration laws in your former home country? Well, of course there are. Okay, did any of them get you all upset and all worked up? Well, no. But there are laws to keep illegals out, aren't there? Well, yes. Well, how come you weren't concerned about it there, but now you're suddenly concerned about it here? And they don't really know what to say. And they realize they're being kind of dumb about it, but they can't answer that question. But I always find that sort of interesting. And now I picked on a Republican by picking on Newt for having said that. But the same false choice is used by this president every time he opens his mouth about immigration, that we're breaking families up. And it's never happened. It's a false scenario. It's a false choice. I mean, it's not a choice, but he's presenting a false scenario to try and force a choice that is based on a false scenario. And so – now Newt's default, and again, I'm picking on Newt. I apologize. I am a Republican, but I'm just gonna go with this because I think some of our candidates, and you've probably seen that, Marianne, because you and I are very familiar with the subject. But I've seen too many candidates that really don't understand the issues, and that's why I would suggest anybody out there that's running for office, want to know more about this, should listen to the Michael Cutler Show, because he talks about this on a weekly basis and is full of information. Go to his website and you will find, I think it's michaelcutler.net, you will find out all the information you need to know to enlighten you and educate you on the problem. But I'll cover one more thing that Newt kind of brought up to kind of dodge this breaking up families thing. And then I'll let you think about this for a second, Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
What are the top things, and you've been doing this a while now, what are the top few things that you can think of that the average person doesn't know about illegal immigration, that they just don't know, that they're important, that help us understand the situation better? So think about that for a second. But Newt, mm-hmm. The other night at the debate, started talking about granny. What if you got a grandmother? You're going to deport a grandmother while her children and the grandchildren stay here because they're all legal? Well, my first question is to you, Marianne. What is a grandmother or a grandfather in this country with two generations behind them or below them here legally? How is it that they're still illegal? I don't get that. How does that work?
Exactly.
And children not then work to legalize them? Who does that?
Probably not. Who knows? But you know, the bottom line is, you know, when I heard him say that, I thought that was the most really ridiculous statement I've heard. Instead, what he should be focusing on is the fact that when we are not practicing attrition through enforcement, we are hurting our own, you know, what about the American workers that are out of work? You know, this isn't about grannies. This is about people who are taking our jobs. We have, you know, out of the so-called 11 or 12 million illegal immigrants, 8 million, it's estimated that 8 million are working. We have 12 million or more unemployed Americans. It's a simple math. This isn't about the grannies. This is about 8 million illegal immigrants that are currently, presently employed.
Right. Absolutely.
That's it. That's the bottom line.
You know, I told the story before, and of course not I told it to Michael Cutler. I've told it to you, but how my daughter was rear-ended in San Diego, California by an illegal immigrant. And the illegal immigrant, his car had Mexico plates on it, but he lives in San Diego. He doesn't come across the border daily. He's got a house right there in I'm not going to tell you the city. It's not actually San Diego. It's a little bit north of there. And where did he rear-end her? Coming out of a parking lot and pulling onto the street, and the lights were red, and he just kind of kept going and hit her. He was leaving work. Winchell's Donuts. He wasn't picking lettuce in the field. He's got a job at Winchell's Donuts. Now, to say, they're doing jobs that Americans won't do, I'd work at Winchell's Donuts when I was in high school. I worked at a pizza place. That was a great place to eat because I got free pizza all the time. I'd be more than happy to work my way through high school, even college, at Winchell's Donuts. But you're exactly right about taking the jobs.
Well, and you're exactly right about that as well, Tom. We have a generation of kids that have so many of the traditional first-time jobs for young people to learn a work ethic, not about whether or not the job is prestigious, but the restaurants, the busboys, the car washes, the lawn mowing, the landscaping in the summer, all those jobs, when you and I were growing up, those were done by high school kids. It was your first chance to be able to, learn a work ethic, be somewhere on time, be responsible, learn the value of a dollar, save up some money, and now most of those jobs are not available for our high school kids anymore because now we have adults that are working those jobs. And most of the time, they're adults who are here illegally. They're the busboys. They're the help in the kitchen. They're the ones that are doing the landscaping jobs. You no longer see the high school kids doing it, and it's not because they don't want to. Those jobs are no longer available. And then we are creating, working poor families because those jobs were never meant to be sustaining. We're never meant to be enough, make enough money to sustain a family with those kinds of jobs. But that's exactly what these people are trying to do. And what happens then? Their children who are born here are then allowed to, ask for are eligible for benefits, whether it's in California, Florida, Illinois, where what have you. I mean, it's so topsy-turvy. Things have changed so dramatically. Our generation of kids do not have a lot of those traditional, first-time jobs available to them anymore.
Yeah, well, you bring up a very good point. And something that we've talked about quite a few times amongst ourselves is that this is a modern-day form of slave labor. It's modern-day slavery to offer, to dangle to these immigrants, these illegal immigrants, the ability to work under the table for sub-minimum wage, terrible working conditions because, there's no rules or regulation that have to be followed when you're hiring illegals, and you just kind of keep everything out of sight if you can, that kind of a business, whether it's down here, it's big business down here, yard landscaping and that sort of thing. But, you hire a couple illegals for a week to get you along back washing dishes in your kitchen and on and on. I mean, we've heard people from the restaurant industry say if you immediately made all illegals just suddenly go away, the restaurant industry would collapse. Well, that's precisely where I worked as a kid, and it's too bad that Newt didn't use that as an analogy versus the janitor at a school that, if he had just simply said, we've got illegals that are taking all kinds of jobs that our kids could be doing and that we did as kids. But, yeah, that's a very important point. Well, I'm not going to keep it too much longer, but I got three more questions. Keep in mind what do people really not know about illegal immigration if it's not something we've covered. But back to the granny thing, you've done a lot of research on these subjects, and you may know, you may not know, but I'm going to throw this out here. Is there a way, if you're a family here in the U.S. and you got your grandmother here, whether she was the first one here or whatever, and she is illegal, she never got citizenship. And I got to tell you, I fly out of Miami International Airport. There are people down there, I've gone to Walgreens near the airport, where nobody speaks English. And it's not that they're speaking Spanish because it's their native tongue. They don't speak English. They don't know how to speak English. There are janitors, well, I won't say where. There are janitors down in various facilities down in Miami that I've bumped into that don't speak English at all. They don't speak English. So they could be legal. They very well, because we have plenty of folks that are legal citizens in South Florida, primarily because they're Cuban refugees, but they've never learned English. That's a whole other topic. But is there any legal remedy that if somebody is here and they've got their grandmother, like Newt Gingrich talked about, who's never become a citizen, is there a legal way for them to, as citizens, to get her citizenship without having to send her back to the home country? Today, does it already exist?
Most likely not. I mean, there's some, a little bit of discretion, prosecutorial discretion, but it's very difficult. It's very difficult. I mean, you jeopardize you know, once again, I mean, if you come here illegally, you're jeopardizing, you know, your ability to then, you know, straighten out or normalize your situation. The more time that goes by, the less chance it's going to be. You know, the other thing is look at the factors. I mean, if you, have you, one of the things that they're going to look at, I mean, there's so many factors to look at. I mean, every family is unique. But, you know, the bottom line is that the chances would be, in that hypothetical scenario, probably slim to none.
Okay.
You know,
honestly,
not a contributing individual.
Point.
I mean, it's not happening. Although, but this is why Obama, you know, recently, you know, had his directive, not even a month ago, pretty much saying, giving, you know, a blanket amnesty by administrative and prosecutorial discretion, and saying, you know, if you don't have a criminal record, if you're not wanted, you know, if you, you know, have kept, you know, managed to evade deportation for all these years and not gotten yourself sent to prison, then we're going to just let you stay. And that is just even worse to me than actually coming out with the law and granting amnesty like in 1986, because this pretty much eliminates, I mean, any reason for E-Verify. Now the employers don't even really have to do that, because these people aren't going to leave. They're not going to get deported. And that's basically what Obama has done. He went around Congress and he said that. I mean, he gave this directive. So these people are not going to get deported.
It's completely unconstitutional. You can look at every federal law that stands today on the books, that's a violation, that the person is violating the federal law. And he's basically said, nah, not so much. And he has no authority to do that whatsoever. So
I'm hoping that whoever gets elected will take care of that, because that is really, again, not only it's unconstitutional, but it's actually worse that now these people, you know, will not be deported. They have no fear of having to be deported. So they don't have to give up their jobs. They can continue on, you know, status quo. And you know, of course, you know, that it didn't include granting them, you know, affirmatively granting them immigration benefits, but it's basically just sort of like a don't ask, don't tell. We're just going to not do anything about it. I mean, that's almost worse. And it really puts the rest of the people in a bind, because, you know, there's right now, you know, there's so many people that have their applications in the pipeline, or families who are U.S. citizens or legal residents who are legitimately, you know, trying to sponsor, you know, a family member to come here. And Tom, that takes, could be a decade or more, depending on what nation you're talking about. And how is that in any way fair?
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's say we do the compassionate thing, like Rick Perry says, or Newt Gingrich, or even some of the other candidates, and including our president. We do the compassionate thing, and we grant granny and long-term residents amnesty. In the case of granny, does that mean that you and I now get to pay her Social Security and Medicare?
You read my mind. Absolutely. Exactly, that's what the case is. Now, you know, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, every single benefit under the sun. So, you know, come on. It is not just a matter of we're letting granny stay. It's like we are also giving her or him a windfall of benefits that they have in no way contributed to at all.
Right. And in fact, if that's the compassionate thing, then I would take it a step further. If that's compassionate, let's set up Social Security and Medicare programs for all the poor people around the world. If that's the right thing to
might
do,
might as well.
You know, but I don't
might
think any
well.
Americans are going to go for that one, are they?
No, I think not. I mean, I think it's just absurd that, you know, and you asked me the question, what are some of the things that people don't know? Well, for example, you know, we even in this horrible economic situation with record high unemployment, we are still granting visas to, you know, excuse me, immigration benefits and legal residency to almost a million people every year. Last year, this year, the year before, during the height of the recession, height of this horrible economic time, height of unemployment, we still are allowing almost a million legal immigrants to come here. And these are not children. They're not elderly. These are people, you know, working age, and they're coming here to compete for our jobs. I mean, that is absurd as well. I mean, we need to have a policy that puts, you know, our society as the top priority. We have to have indicators. You know, if we're in a down economic times, high unemployment, we have to be able to limit the number of work visas that we grant, period. on a blanket basis. It doesn't matter where the people are from or what their skills are. If we have high unemployment, we are not going to allow more people to come in to compete for the small amount of jobs that there are. That's
right.
Absurd.
Right. Every country in the world will allow rich people to come to their country because they bring money. They'll allow rich people, even wealthy countries. In fact, the wealthiest countries are the toughest to get into. You've got to have money. You basically got to show up and say, I got a lot of money. I'm going to buy a big house and be contributing to your commerce here significantly with all my money. And I'm not even going to be working, so I'm not even going to take anybody's job because I'm rich. You can get into some of the wealthier countries around the world by having a lot of money. But if you don't have money, almost every country on this planet except ours, if you don't have money, you're not getting in here. We're not going to allow you to come here, even if you're willing to do some menial task or a job that we need. You're just
right.
Not.
And that's what happens here. We have so many different types of visas because normally, you know, an individual who just wants to immigrate here and become a resident, they have a long wait. And the same thing, you know, they do ask them, you know, what are your funds? You know, if you're even granting a tourist visa, if you've never been to the United States before and you decide you want to go and visit Disney World, and you're from whatever country other than the ones that we, you know, or you want to be here for 6 months, you have to prove that, you know, you're not going to overstay. And part of that is whether or not you have assets or a family to come back to, you know, et cetera. If you're a risk, you're considered some kind of a risk of staying here, you're not going to be able to come in. However, we have chain migration, and that's where we, you know, chain migration means that anybody that's here legally, a legal permanent resident or U.S. citizen can sponsor an unlimited amount of family members, regardless of how close the family member or is not. It could be your third cousin, your 50th cousin, it could be your grandmother, whatever. And there is no requirement, educational attainment, employment skills, nothing. All they have to show is that, you know, they're related to a U.S. citizen or a legal permanent resident. That's it. So
right.
that is how this is. The numbers have grown so exponentially, and again, without regard to our economic situation, to our employment numbers at all. And that's when, if we just stopped that, we would, you know, put a brake on this exponential growth of, you know, unchecked immigration. I mean, because that, you know, there should be some limit. You shouldn't be able to sponsor, you know, 25 people here when there aren't jobs or you're not being asked to put a bond up,
right?
You know, et cetera. So,
yeah,
you know,
well,
I think that's a huge problem.
One of the conditions, like, for example, my wife coming from Canada here was that I had to prove in the beginning that I could support her. If she never, ever worked, that I could support her. But if I get her here and she then becomes a citizen, now that she's a citizen, I don't have to maintain that proof anymore, and then she can immediately go on welfare and food stamps and on and on and on and get all the benefits of citizenship without ever really having – yeah, she earned it, and of course that's never going to happen to her. But it, just as you said, unlimited number of relatives, you start bringing them in. Pretty soon your whole family's here, and maybe they don't really have any good skill sets, and they ultimately end up on welfare. I know for a fact, because my wife is from Canada, that's a huge problem in Canada. They don't have those requirements on immigrants. They get in, they immediately become citizens, and they immediately go on the welfare system. And so it's going on in this country, and we know that there are people that are long-term generations that have been on welfare for multiple generations. They've got this down to a T. All you have to do is seek those people out and find out the tricks of the trade, and you just keep bringing your family here, whether you can support them or not, and they'll be able to survive and survive a much better lifestyle than they were in their home country, most likely, because their home country doesn't give them those kind of benefits.
We have generous benefits. They're not only that, but then every person that is brought in then also has the ability to bring in as many other relatives as possible. It's just exponentially, this is how immigration pretty much exploded over the last 30 years. And most of the immigration was from that. I mean, also, you know, obviously illegal immigration because we pretty much have had open borders and a policy of hands-on.
Yeah.
Things have gone from bad to worse in the border. You know, Mexico is pretty much having a civil war with the drug cartels. It's horrific. And, this administration is turning a blind eye. I mean, more people have died, you know, on the border of Mexico with the drug cartels than have in the wars in Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan. And yeah. We are not paying attention to what's going on there. And Rick Santorum brought up an excellent point last night that, you know, again, we're not paying attention to what's happening in Latin America. And were it not for our position as a nation being eyed as weak on foreign policy, Ahmadinejad has been in our backyard. He was 90 miles off the coast of Florida just last week and visiting, you know, his buddy Fidel Castro.
Yeah.
He was
yeah,
in Venezuela. He was in Ecuador. You know, he went to visit, you know, all five of the, you know, the current leftist communist, you know, dictators in Latin America. And he was in our backyard at the same time that he's threatening to close the Straits of Hormuz.
Yeah.
You know, I have to believe that if, you know, if we weren't for this president, I don't know that he would have dared do this. And, you know, and why are we allowing him to come to the United Nations every year, to come and spew and insult our nation and threaten Israel? And, you know, why are we doing that? Why do we let him in?
What we should do is arrest him and then hold him indefinitely in Guantanamo. And at that point, none of these nut jobs will ever come to the UN again. And maybe the UN will leave New York.
Well, that would I would deport the UN.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, Marianne, it's been a blast. I've kept you too long. It's a Friday night. You're a champ for coming on and a good friend for coming on a Friday night. I know Michael will appreciate that. This has been such a good interview. I'm going to have to basically replay this as a best of on my radio show. I really appreciate
it. Oh, great,
Tom.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about the DREAM Act next, because now Newt has offered a twist on that, and I'm not sure I'm for that or
yeah.
making me change my mind about that. But that's definitely
we'll get
hot topic.
We'll get you on my show in the next few weeks to do exactly that, to talk all about that. Oh, that DREAM Act is just unbelievable. But and any twist on it, there should be no twist. Just don't even consider it. But absolutely. Now, tell everybody if there's some place they can find out more information about what you're doing, any of the organizations you're connected with, go ahead, plug away.
The Kitchen Table Patriots. So kitchentablepatriots.org. We're on the internet. We are on Facebook. Come and like us. We are a wonderful Tea Party organization run by the two current co-chairs, Anna and Anastasia. We are trying to get them to become delegates to the Republican National Committee. We're in the process of, they're in the process of doing their screenings and getting their signatures, and we're hoping that our Tea Party group is going to have two delegates at the RNC convention in August. Very exciting,
awesome.
Very exciting times.
Okay.
So,
and the other thing I've asked you before, and I can't remember what the answer was, if somebody wanted to start a Kitchen Table Patriots in their own city or state, would you be willing to help them out and show them a template for how you've been so successful?
Sure.
Contact
us.
Considered that.
I mean, well, actually, we have a first kind of branch out our neighboring county in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. We're in Bucks County, but we've kind of become more regional of a group, and certainly our current co-chairs have been on the national stage. But we now have we were asked the very same thing by some neighbors of ours who have an entirely different set of issues than we do, but have been actively involved with us and need, you know, wanted to do boots on the ground like we have. And we have our second sort of chapter in Montgomery County, PA that's you know, working and forming right now. And it's kind of an exciting time because this is, you know, anybody, no matter what group they're associated with, if they're for the conservative cause, I mean, this is going to be the election of our lifetime in 2012. And you know, we're hoping that, you know, as a nation, you know, all the Tea Party groups and the conservative and patriot groups, we were so successful, all of us, nationwide in 2010. And 2011 for us was another big success locally. Every single Republican candidate that was around in our area won. That was it was a sweep. It was incredible, and we were so excited about that. So, you know, 2012 is hopefully going to be the one. And all of us are, you know, gearing up and, you know, trying to set aside time for our schedules. And I'm pretty much going to probably, you know, saying goodbye to my family for about a month during the elections, right before the elections, and do everything I can. I mean, this is it for all of us. We have to make sure that we get things back on the right track, and that means we have to vote out Obama, period.
Right. Yep. Okay, well, you're absolutely right about that. I know Michael Cutler would agree with that because there have been too many destructive things. I love talking with Michael. I love talking with Michael because even though he's a Democrat, we both love the Constitution, and that's all I care about because it was drafted by some really smart people. And they fought and they argued, but they eventually came down with what they believed would last forever. And it's being eroded. And if we just get back to following it, I believe it's a roadmap to success. But anyways, Marianne, thank you so much for coming on tonight. It's been a blast. Appreciate it. I'll be in touch. We'll get you on my show sometime in the next few weeks, and we'll talk about the Dream Act and the Constitution and things we like talking about. But KitchenTablePatriots.com, is that it?
.org.
.org.
KitchenTablePatriots.org.
.org. All right.
Yeah, and we're also on Facebook.
That's
thanks great. A lot. Okay. Good night, Tom.
Thanks, Marianne.
Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Have a great night. Talk to you later.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. That's always fun talking with Marianne. I love that because she's so knowledgeable, so smart, so active, so energetic. And so let's wrap things up here. And just in case you know, I know that you know Michael knows a lot of people, and his because he was a immigration officer for so long and law enforcement officer, he knows national security issues inside out, and I've learned a lot from him. And I've been there. I've lived on the border, and, of course, it's nothing like it used to be. 20, 30 years ago, my gosh, it's changed so much down there in Tucson, Arizona. The crime is so much worse than it used to be. It's not that there's more crime. It's just much more violent and dangerous. And that's straight from a friend of mine who is a police officer in Arizona. And knows all about this stuff, and I'm going to be getting him on my show here in the next few weeks to talk about that. I had a chat with him when Arizona first passed its immigration bill back, probably a couple years ago, and he had a lot to tell me, a lot of enlightenment there, a lot of interesting stuff about what's changed. The first thing he said was, Tom, you wouldn't recognize it around here, and it's really changed. I still have some family that live in Tucson. And I'm going to have to talk to them also. Whenever we get together, we don't talk about that stuff. We talk about other things. But I need to get maybe even one of my cousins to come on the show and talk about what it's like living in Tucson, Arizona, compared to what it used to be when we were kids. So in any case, let's get back to the article that I was talking about, The Tale of Two Garcias, and the chain migration plays right into what we were getting into. So let me go back here. And so why does the second Garcia family not want to save all that money by sending their daughter back to Mexico to live with relatives or friends and get a free, top-notch education? Well, number one, because our way of life is so much better than most every other nation in the world. Our unique constitution guarantees the kind of liberty and freedom that they came searching for to begin with. Unfortunately, they've gained the benefits of citizenship without earning the citizenship. And when something precious is not earned but taken, it doesn't tend to be valued. We talked about this on the Reagan amnesty in California. So what's the solution? Well, actually, I need to go back to the chain migration thing because I don't talk about it enough in this particular article. Here's why it is so important for a family to not send their kids home for a free education, but to keep them here. Because the parents are not here legally. And as Marianne very eloquently expressed, once that child has made it through college and gets a good paying job, they can start bringing their family members here, i.e. their parents, through a legal process because they can now show that they can support them until they get on their feet. That's why families that don't have much money at all will scrape and scrimp and save and live in not very nice neighborhoods and not very nice dwellings just so that they can get one of their kids into the system. Because their kids, if they were born here, are considered citizens. That's a whole other topic, the 14th Amendment, but they're considered citizens, and that's why that's their foot in the door. That is their foot in the door, and it's so. And who pays the price for this? Well, my daughters, who are competing with them for seats in a university, for tuition assistance, for in-state tuition rates, and simply even just getting in to that particular university. So I finished this up. What's the solution? Well, first, for Governor Perry, give the taxpayers a break by not allowing in-state tuition for illegal immigrants. This is a wealth transfer from middle-class taxpayers to illegal alien families amounting to millions of dollars. Second, give American citizens give American citizen students a break by not forcing them to compete with children that shouldn't be here to begin with and have a free education waiting for them in their home countries? And finally, please tell us what additional types of compassion you are going to cost us if you're elected president. And that goes for Speaker Gingrich, Mitt Romney, and anybody else that's talked about this issue in a compassionate way. Well, you're being compassionate to people from other countries. You're not being compassionate to me. You're not being compassionate, especially to my children. It's not compassion whatsoever. It's a wealth transfer, and it's a job transfer, and the way it stands today, it's a modern-day form of slavery. All right, I want to thank you for listening to the show tonight. Michael Cutler, we wish you the best in your travels. Enjoy California. I know you love the Northeast and the New York and New Jersey areas. I love them too, but in the summertime, not the wintertime. And I know they've been having some Indian summers there and really warm weather. That's great, but nothing compared to what California is like this time of the year. Or Florida, where I live. So, by the way, the music that I led in with and I'm going to lead out with is, if you want to call it music or sound or whatever it is, I use that on my show. And then, of course, I have the luxurious voice of my wife doing the voiceover for my show. That you won't hear on this because this is not my show. But I want to thank you. Michael will be back next week, Friday, 7 p.m., same time, same channel. Don't miss it. He's always got great stuff to talk about. And if you want to listen live and call in, that's fantastic because Michael loves interacting with folks and talking with folks. So take the time to call in if you can on Friday night. But also, you know that you can always download these shows and go into the archives and download all of the past shows. And I'll tell you what, Michael gets a lot of downloads, a lot. Some of his shows are just off the chart with downloads because people listen to it and go, wow, and then they download. They tell their friends, and then they come and download, and that's why he gets so many downloads. So I'm Commander Tom Garcia, host of The American Hour, which comes on Wednesday and Thursday nights, the same channel. Listen to us if you want to listen in. Next week we'll probably be talking about a little bit more about the GOP presidential race and whatever the latest news coming out of this administration on how they're getting around the Constitution. That's what I love to talk about. I've taken the oath twice in my life, once as a midshipman at the Naval Academy and once as a naval officer, to not only support and defend the Constitution, but to bear true faith and allegiance to the same. That means you don't figure out ways to get around it. You always work to follow it. Thank you. Stay safe out there, and a shout out to our troops, and have a great weekend.